Selma did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Southeast as you listen. This is their story. In Southampton Itchen, healthcare assistants who want to train as nurses find themselves blocked not by lack of ability or dedication, but by Treasury spending limits that treat NHS workforce development as a cost to be minimised, rather than the pathway through which skilled professionals reach understaffed wards.
My grandmother taught me that nursing was both service and resistance. She came from Pakistan in the 1960s and worked night shifts at Southampton General for 30 years, always saying that caring for people was the highest calling, but that fighting for the right to do it properly was just as important. I grew up believing both parts of that lesson. I keep a small succulent on my windowsill that somehow thrives despite the damp Hampshire air, and I think about resilience every time I water it. After my A-levels at Itchen College, I worked as a healthcare assistant at Southampton General Hospital for 3 years. I wanted to understand the work from the ground up before committing to nurse training. Every shift showed me how much I wanted this career. The way you could make someone's worst day just slightly better, the technical skills that let you monitor and support recovery, the teamwork that kept the whole ward functioning. I saved every penny I could, knowing that student loans would only cover part of the costs, and I gained experience that would make me a better student when the time came. In 2022, I applied for a nursing degree at the University of Southampton. I scored well on the entrance exams and felt confident about my interview. The academics were impressed by my experience and my motivation. 2 weeks later, I received a letter that made no sense. Health Education England told me that the training places existed, that I was qualified, but that funding had been capped by Treasury spending limits. I was waitlisted indefinitely. I assumed it was a temporary problem, something that would resolve itself by the next academic year. I applied to Portsmouth University in 2023, thinking a different institution might have different funding streams. The response was identical. There is no funding for additional training places this year. The admissions tutor sounded genuinely sorry when she called to explain. She said they had the lecturers, they had the clinical placements arranged with local hospitals, they had everything except permission to spend money on more student places. At first, this sounded reasonable. Budgets are tight everywhere. Everyone knows the NHS is under pressure. I accepted that these were just the financial realities we all had to live with. But then I started noticing things that did not fit. While working extra shifts at Southampton General to keep paying my rent, I had to walk through the university's nursing simulation labs to reach the staff changing rooms. These labs were incredible, fully equipped mock hospital wards with computerized mannequins, medication trolleys, the works. They were sitting empty 3 days a week. I asked one of the technicians why, and he shrugged. "Not enough funded student places to fill them," he said. That evening, I walked home through Woolston thinking about what I had seen. Mrs. Ahmed, who lives two doors down from me, used to work as a care assistant before her children were born. She has been out of work for 2 years and desperately wants to retrain. Mr. Johnson across the street worked in private care homes before they closed during the pandemic. He has 15 years of experience and would love to become a qualified nurse, but he cannot even get onto an access course because those have been cut too. I started asking questions. When I mentioned the empty simulation labs to my ward manager, she laughed, but not because anything was funny. "We desperately need more nurses," she said. "Half our shifts are running understaffed, but Health Education England's budget constraints mean we cannot train them." She told me about colleagues trapped in the same funding maze, including someone called Meredith from the Isle of Wight West who'd been trying to access nurse training for even longer than me. the pieces stopped fitting together. If the people existed, and the equipment existed, and the clinical placements existed, and the desperate need existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The wards were understaffed. The labs were empty. The qualified instructors were underutilized. Meanwhile, healthcare assistants like me were working overtime to cover the gaps that properly trained nurses could fill. I realized that the government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect willing people to necessary work. This was not an accounting problem. It was a political decision dressed as an accounting problem. Now, I understand something I did not understand at the start. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still working as a healthcare assistant, still watching the contradictions pile up around me. Every empty simulation lab, every experienced care worker who cannot retrain, every understaffed ward where we scramble to provide safe care with half the nurses we need. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side. While someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, as though they do not hold the key to filling it themselves.
What Selma experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique works like demanding that a chef guarantee no customer will ever dislike their meal before agreeing to open a restaurant. Impossible expectations require perfect outcomes and zero waste as the price of any public spending, a standard that would shut down every private business if applied consistently. In Selma's case, every conversation about NHS training ended with unspoken demands for impossibility. Could Health Education England guarantee that every student would graduate? Could they promise no one would change careers afterwards? Could they prove that additional nurses would eliminate all waiting times? When the answers were anything less than absolute certainty, the response was always the same: there is no funding. Yet, this standard vanished when bank bailouts required immediate action or when tax cuts promised uncertain economic benefits. Impossible expectations are selectively applied to justify inaction, particularly when spending would benefit working-class communities. The objection, the NHS is a bottomless pit, we cannot keep throwing money at it, sets exactly this impossible standard. No service is bottomless. NHS costs are measurable. The UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. Bottomless pit treats any amount of evidence of need as never sufficient. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. In Southampton Itchen, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Southampton Itchen ranks 178 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 479 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £2.4 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.